We've now been joined by our poll sitter for tomorrow's Yellowwood 500 at Talladega, which is Michael McDowell. Michael, congratulations on another poll this season. Take us a little bit through that lap and what it means to win the poll here this weekend.
Yeah, it's, Talladega qualifying, there's not a tremendous amount to it. But we knew coming here that we'd have a shot at the pole, and it was a priority for us. A lot of effort went into it. So you feel that pressure of not making any mistakes and not screwing it up. Just really proud of our team. I mean, it's very difficult to come down to these super speedways and have cars that we have and continue to bring cars that we've brought every weekend. So really proud of the effort. It's amazing. We sort of had this in mind that today would be a day that we'd come down here and try to get the rest of the super speedways locked down, and really proud that we were able to accomplish it.
All right, we'll now go to questions for Michael. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll work to get a mic to you. We'll start with Matt over here. Work our way to Reed. Oh, thank you. Right up here.
Matt Weaver, SportsNot. Is there a part of this that feels kind of like deja vu or Groundhog Day, and that you're back on the pole? And how much have you replayed the spring race over in your head, the things you could have done differently?
Well, I mean, after the spring race, I played it in my head a lot, just because you're always trying to learn and study and figure out, okay, what went right, what went wrong. How would you process it different? How would you make the moves different? It's more analytical than just, oh, don't make the last block. It's how do you do all the things you need to do and still win the race, right? And then you kind of just lock in and get focused and you move on. You move on pretty quickly in our sport. You have to learn to do that, because if not, next week's here and you can get in your head, and anytime that happens, you can lose momentum, good or bad, and so I try to move on quickly. But, as this race, came up and is coming up, you see all on social media the last lap, right? And every time I just won't even let it get to the wreck, I stop it. I just scroll up or I scroll left or right. I don't know what you call it, because I don't want to see it. And the reason I don't want to see it is hard. That was my shot to make the playoffs. That was our shot to get a win. And it slipped out of our hands, right? And so, but the reason I don't want to watch it, and the reason that I don't reflect on it, is because I'm staying in this moment, right? Tomorrow's a new day, a new opportunity, and we'll have a shot at winning the race. And I'm going to think about the things I need to do to win the race tomorrow, and try not to fixate too much on what happened last time. You learn from it, and you definitely, like I said, right after, I studied it hard for hours and figured out a game plan of what I would do different. And so we sort of have that locked in and try to move on.
And then what have you learned in the last couple of years working with Bob and Jerry about whether it's their principle or character or whatever as they go through this process now that ramped up, I guess, this week with the lawsuit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, what I would say is that Bob Jenkins is so dedicated to this sport. And what I mean by that is, I mean, he probably wouldn't want me saying this, but he has spent millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of his own dollars to be in this sport and to be competitive. And nobody does that, unless they're insane or super passionate. And, Bob's very passionate. He's passionate about this sport. He's passionate about our race team and getting competitive. And, it's been a steady progression. And I feel like we're at a point now where, we're a contender. And we're a contender week in and week out. And so, they've fought really hard to be in the spot that we're in now, to be as competitive on the racetrack as we are. And then Jerry's been around the sport a long time. And he's a guy that everybody on our race team leans on, when they're going through good times and bad times. And it's a big family at Front Row. It's not this corporate feel when you walk in. I mean, everybody knows each other's names. We all know each other's families. We celebrate those good moments together, and we fight through the tough ones. And, that atmosphere isn't like that everywhere at every race shop. And I think a lot of it has to do with just how Bob and Jerry have gone about their business. We've kind of stayed that small, nimble family feel. And, they love the sport. And, as far as all the things going on, I mean, I think it just shows like today is just how dedicated we are to performing on the track and doing our jobs. And the rest will take care of itself.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, our next question will go to Reed up here in the green.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Five super speedway poles in a row is more than just coincidence.
For sure.
Do you feel like, without revealing any trade secrets, that you guys have found something that nobody else has found at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I couldn't answer it. I don't know what everybody else is doing. I can tell you that we've found a lot of little details go a long way, and it's not just one thing. And I think I shared the story earlier this year of sort of how we got here. And how we got here was we didn't qualify last, but it was close to it the previous year. And we were like, man, we got to fix this. We have to fix this. And so we all just put our heads together and said, okay, we are going to build this Daytona car, and we're going to put as much time, energy, and resources into this Daytona car, every little detail, from every decal to every clear coat to every nut, every bolt, every body panel. We are going to make sure that everything on this car to the last thousandths is perfect. And it was a tremendous undertaking through the off season. And we went down to Daytona, and as you guys know, there's no practice, right? So cold turkey, you go out there, and we qualified on the front row, qualified off pole. So we went from qualifying 20s plus, 30s sometimes, to sitting on the front row of the Daytona 500. And all of a sudden, we were like, okay, we can do this. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of energy. It's going to take a lot of effort. But you got to throw in the mix there, too, is that the Ford Mustang Dark Horse, body update, it lends itself to being very quick at the super speedways. We've seen a lot of Ford Mustangs up front at super speedways. Roush Yates engine power, we know that we come down here with a little bit of an advantage. And so, as you guys know in NASCAR, there's very few windows of opportunities that you get. Because next year there could be a different spec, a different rule update, somebody makes, a manufacturer finds something, things like this happen all the time, to where all of a sudden you go from being the top dog from a manufacturer standpoint to behind at certain tracks. And so we knew that there was an opportunity to capitalize. Does that make sense? We knew that, there was like 8 Fords in the top 10 at Daytona 500, and we're like, hey, this is our time, this is our year, this is our opportunity to make the most out of every super speedway track that we have. And so it's just taking that kind of laser focus and applying it. Unfortunately, we've come up short when it comes to winning the races. But at the same time, I'm proud of what we've done, right? Like, we've been 300 or 400 yards away from a couple checkered flags. And not just here, but at Daytona, leading the race with 5 or 6 to go when, we got spun out. And we've been in the lead or first or second when these things have happened. And so we're not just fast on Saturday, we're fast on Sunday too. And so I'm proud of that. There's been times in, over my career where you might go qualify really well and then they drop the green flag and the car drives terrible and you're hanging on for dear life and you can't stay up there. And that's not the case. The speed that we've found in our race car applies to the race too. And so it's tough. It's tough to do what we've done, and I'm really proud of Travis Peterson and Griff and all the guys on the 34 because they're there later than everybody else. 8 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday night, they're still there. They work their guts out with a plan to come down here and sit on the pole. And, I get to sit in front of you guys and kind of take the glory, but it is 100% all the work that they put in at shop. And my job is to try to not screw it up. And I'm just super proud. I'm proud of the effort. I'm proud of the fact that, once I made my announcement that I was making a change for next year, it had been very easy for those guys to just, give 80%. And some people call it a lame duck year or whatever it is. But those guys have fought super hard, and they continue to fight hard, even with 6 to go or 7 to go, wherever we're at. And so I'm just really proud of those guys. They fought really hard, and it's a testament to, what hard work looks like.
And lastly, have you had a chance to study the changes at the Roval, and what effect do you think they'll have?
I have had an opportunity to study it, and I'm looking forward to it. The Roval hasn't been super strong for me and us, and so I'm glad that there's some change, because sometimes change is exactly what you need to kind of, you know, turn the ship and get to where you want to be. But the Roval's super challenging. It's not your typical road course. I mean, it's a challenge, technical, tight, twisty, big curbs, the turtles, they call them. I mean, there's a lot of challenges at those places. So I'm looking forward to it. Anytime I get to race on a road course, I'm happy about it. And it's an opportunity, again, to, you know, try to go there and win the race. Yeah.
Okay. Our next question will go to Bob Pockris, then we'll go to Steven, and then I know we have one in the back.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Was there any sort of team meeting or anything about, like, hey, what's going on off the track? Let's remain focused on the track. And or did you have any concerns that now that Front Row is suing NASCAR, that might impact performance?
No concerns on it impacting performance. You know, that's all that stuff's happening above my pay grade and my road crew guys' pay grade. We just stayed focused on the task in front of us. And so, yeah, it wasn't much of a distraction from that standpoint. And, you know, it's the same thing. When you have a goal in front of you, it's easy to stay focused. And the goal was to come down here and sit on the pole. I mean, it's not just because of trying to have, you know, five consecutive super speedway poles. I mean, that's one of it. But the other part of it is that we want to beat Kyle Larson for the most amount of poles in the year. And it's a big goal for us. And I think right now we're ahead. And, you know, he's got great racetracks coming up. I think he probably has more opportunities to get poles from here on out than I do. But he's going to have to execute perfect. And that's the kind of pressure we wanted to put on him. Now, we know he's fighting for a championship, and he is not worried about who gets the most amount of poles. Actually, I think he is. I gave him a little wink before qualifying, and he didn't flip me the bird, but it was close to it. And so, look, we know we're not going to go and win every weekend. This is something that we can win, and we're focused on doing it. And so I'm just happy that we've executed it. And, yeah, there's more opportunities. So tomorrow's a big one right in front of us.
All right, Steven, go ahead.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Michael, you've seen pretty much all ends of the business model that NASCAR teams operate under, whether it was the starting park days back at Phil Parsons and Randy Humphrey's team, or even now when you got the Front Row and it was considerably smaller than it is now. How much of what you've seen and what you've experienced kind of influences the prism through which you view the ongoing charter negotiations and obviously the lawsuits that come out of it?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I did get a memo before I came here of what to not say and talk about. So I don't know if this fits in it. I need to pull up my phone and email. But I can tell you this. Yeah, no. I can tell you, this is what I can tell you, is that when we are starting parking with Phil Parsons and Randy Humphreys, everyone's like, oh, what are these guys doing? You know, they're just stealing from NASCAR, taking the check and going, right? And I know that there was years that Phil lost hundreds of thousands of dollars doing what we were doing. I mean, everybody got paid. There was 10 guys working on that race team and that race car. And if we made the race, we made it. And if we didn't, we didn't. And there was a tremendous amount of pressure on us every single weekend to perform and execute. And everyone, you know, just thought, oh, what are these guys doing? Just wasting space and wasting time, right? And the goal was to never be a starting park team. That wasn't the goal. It's just what we had to do to keep things going. And we worked on sponsorship, and when we got sponsorship, we raced, and that might have only been five or six times a year. If you made the Daytona 500, you had a little bit of a cushion. If you made Texas, it was great. If you made Indianapolis, that was a bonus. If you missed those races, you lost money. I mean, you lost money. There's no doubt about it. And there's years that we didn't make those races. And so I've seen it from that side. I've seen it from the Front Row side. And, you know, like I said, I'm not going to go into the details, but I can tell you this for sure, that Bob Jenkins has and continues to spend a tremendous amount of his own money. And every time we ask for more and more resources and more cars and more parts and a Hawkeye, and you guys have heard me talk about it over the years, it's coming out of Bob's pocket. And so I feel like, you know, I can't answer your question all the way, but I can answer it enough to know that there's not a team in the garage, you can quote this, that's more efficient than Front Row Motorsports, not one team. There's nobody spending what we spend and performing how we perform, nobody. And if he has to spend his own money, there's a problem.
Right. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, we'll go to Tony in the back for our final question.
Thanks. Congratulations, Michael. Tony Shebeki from the Race Talk and On the Grid. NASCAR made three changes to the car for this weekend here at Talladega to try and keep you guys on the ground. Two-part question. One, did you notice any difference to the car today? And two, do you think they've done enough?
Those are loaded questions. Felt nothing today, which we expect. You know, the changes that we make, you know, you won't really feel until you get into a big draft and you have a lot of airflow going over the car and around the car. Whether it's effective or not, same thing, we won't know until one of us is sideways at 180 miles an hour and see if we blow over or not. It's not a super easy solution to any of this. As you guys know, a lot of what we do is computer simulation, CFD, and you can go to the wind tunnel, right, and you can get those numbers, but you can't put 5 or 10 cars in the wind tunnel. And anytime you affect one area of the race car, you're going to affect other areas of the race car, and there's a ripple effect, right? And so I think they're working hard. I think that they've done a good job of finding a few things that, from a data standpoint, are moving it closer to where they think it needs to be. But it's a moving target because situationally you could get into a different spot that the car has not been in yet, and we see something tomorrow. But we're moving everything in the right direction. They've been proactive. I don't think there's any driver that's sitting there like, oh, what are these guys doing? We know that they're proactive. They've been proactive. They've always been proactive on safety. They're making the changes that they can make. And sure, there's probably more things we could do, but we don't know what that's going to affect, and we don't know how it's going to affect it. And the last thing you want to do is create another problem. And so... It's not an easy, quick decision. It's not an easy, quick fix. But I feel safe going into the race tomorrow. It's not a concern of mine. It's not something that I'm thinking about. And, you know, I think that you're not going to always have a safety net for every situation. Race cars that go 200 miles an hour are dangerous. They've been dangerous, and they'll continue to be dangerous. I feel way safer today sitting in a race car than I did 10 years ago. And way safer than I did 20 years ago. And I think they've moved everything in the right direction. And so I'm confident strapping in on Sundays and letting it all hang out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Michael, congratulations again on the Busch Light Pole Award. We appreciate you spending some time with us and wish you best of luck.
All right, tomorrow. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.